Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing the Lagan Valley area filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. It's great to see you. Happy summer. Hope you're having an amazing July. If we haven't met before, my name's Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Lagan Valley Vineyard, and thanks, I got one whoop. You're all so welcome this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a really packed room, which is kind of nice. We kind of love that. You're so, so welcome this morning, and thank you so much for being with us. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, after he was in the desert being tempted by the evil one for 40 days, Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, one called Andrew and another called Peter, two fishermen. And he looks to them, he looks straight into their eyes, and he says a really familiar sentence. You want to flick up the first quote there? Jesus looks to Simon Peter, and he looks to Andrew, and he says, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people, or I will make you fishers of men. We're really familiar with this statement of Jesus. We love it. We love seeing destiny being called out of two people who would go on to do remarkable things, both Peter and Andrew. This verse, it stirs us. It stirs us for mission, it stirs us for evangelism, the work of the kingdom. We absolutely love this verse. But I want you to notice, Jesus isn't saying one thing here. He's actually saying two things. You want to keep that verse up there? He's saying two things. He's saying, come, follow me. And then he goes on to say, and I will send you out to fish for people. Of course, he is saying, I want you to go and join me in doing the work of the kingdom. But I want you to notice what he says first. Come and follow me. There was a deep longing within every Jewish boy to hear those words. Come, follow me. The greatest dream for any Jewish boy growing up in the middle Near Eastern culture was to hear a rabbi look him in the eye and say, come, I want you to follow me. I want you to be one of my apprentices. It was the deepest dream and the deepest longing for any young Jewish boy to hear this invitation. But the truth was that people like Simon Peter and Andrew were never going to get to hear these words because they were fishermen. They were poor. They were peasants. They were probably uneducated enough to be able to hear these words. Unless you were fully educated and you were of right standing, you would not be able to hear these words. And yet, Jesus of Nazareth, after being tempted in the desert by the evil one for 40 days, is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers. He looks into their eyes and says, come and follow me. Despite their lack of education, despite their low standing in society, despite their unworthiness, Jesus looks at them and says, come, follow me. To follow a rabbi wasn't simply about just doing the work that the rabbi wanted you to do, but the primary invitation to follow a rabbi was to be with him, to be in his company, to spend time with him, to experience his presence, to be able to enjoy his company. And so for fishermen, like Simon Peter and Andrew, this would have been a gift. This would have been grace. The rabbi-apprentice relationship was there for learning. It was there for becoming. Of course, it was there for doing the work of the kingdom. But primarily, this invitation was to be with Jesus, to enjoy him, to experience his company, to experience his presence. In a couple of weeks' time, Jess is going to unpack this relationship between the rabbi and the apprentice in a little bit more detail. She's going to be exploring what does it look like for us to be an apprentice of Jesus today. But today, this morning, I want you to notice that we so often rush to this part of Jesus' invitation. We always rush to the doing, to the work, to the activity, the second half of this verse. And we find this happening in life, in work, in business, in study, but we can also see it creeping into our relationship with Jesus, our intention of, right, let's go and do the work, Jesus. And of course, hear me on this, of course that's going to happen. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It is to be fruitful, to be able to multiply the work of the kingdom. But we, as followers of Jesus, we need to learn to live life in the right order. The foundation of our lives, the foundation of our relationship with Jesus and our apprenticeship to him is this part, come, follow me. The foundation of everything to do with life is that we get to follow Jesus, to experience his company, to be with him. Before any of the work, before any of this stuff, before any of the kingdom activity, we get to experience the fullness of the grace and the gift of being with Jesus. We get to hear the rabbi say to us, come, follow me. And our deepest longings become reality. Life in the right order is found whenever the rabbi's invitation speaks so much louder than our achievements, our proving of our worth. Whenever we live life in the right order, we live into grace. We get to enjoy Christ's presence. We get to hear, come and follow me. And then from that place, we then are able to join him in his work. And yet so often, we always rush to the second half, don't we? We flip this sentence in the wrong order. We work, we achieve, we strive, we're full of the ambition and the hurry and flurry of modern life, and it knackers us out. Well, all the while, we forget that there's a rhythm, an order to life. There is a gift of grace that is to be found whenever we receive Jesus' invitation to be with him. And in that place, we discover his acceptance, his grace, and his love. If only we were able to live life in the right order. Because if we did, our lives would take on the pattern of the king, and it would also invite us to play with the power of his kingdom. This summer, we're wanting to explore what would it look like for us to live life with Jesus like this. Life in the right order, not rushing towards the second half of the verse, but living with balance, living with this restful acceptance that we have received, that actually we're able to enjoy the company of Jesus beyond anything else. And to help unpack this, we have been spending all summer in one particular teaching of Jesus. It was the teaching text that Chris read earlier from Matthew chapter 11. Do you want to flick up Matthew 11 from the message? Here is the verse. Do you want to flick it up? Thanks, mate. Is it up there? It's coming up. There we go. Do you have the other one? No? You don't have the other one? The Eugene Peterson one's pretty good. There we go. Awesome. This is Matthew 11 from the message. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out in religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We're not wanting to rush this summer, but we're wanting to savor this particular teaching of Jesus. We're going to be spending the next couple of weeks on it, and we're really asking ourselves one question. What does it look like for us to come to Jesus, to truly follow him, to get away with him, and for our lives to be recovered? Because in an age whenever we can so easily rush, whenever we can try to squeeze as much out of life as we can, where we're distracted all of the time and we're hurried, we want to invite us all as a community of Lagan Valley Vineyard to experience a season of rest, a season of replenishment, a season of slowing things right down. A season of rediscovery, a season of grace. But we also sense that this might be a moment for some of you to do the work, the light work, the easy work of reordering and recovering your lives. to quit forcing things through, manipulating things, pushing at things all of the time, but learn to live into the easy flow of the unforced rhythms of grace. And with that, I love that right in the middle of this conversation that we're having on the unforced rhythms of grace, Love Lagan Valley is right around the corner next weekend. Because actually, it is right at the heart of what this reordering and this recovery of life looks like. And so this morning, as we prepare ourselves for Love Lagan Valley next weekend, Yvette and I want to explore one of the signs of a recovered life. And so if you've got a Bible with you, I'd love you to turn with me to Luke chapter 14. So there's some Bibles that are sitting on your seats. And if you want to grab your phone, if you haven't got a Bible near you, please feel free to do that. Luke chapter 14. So let me set some of the context for us here. Jesus is invited to a meal at the home of a prominent Pharisee. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, a Pharisee was a religious Jew, a Jew who loved to perform, to be able to show off how good they were, how religious they were. They tried to seek recognition through their good religious behavior. But it's also really important to note that meals around dinner tables played such a huge role in the middle Near Eastern society that Jesus lived in. Particularly, meals were the place that your standing in society was determined. So all of the time, you were playing this kind of game. You're trying to get invited to the right meal. And then once you got to the meal, you tried to get to the seat that was sitting to the right of the host. This was the best seat in the house. This was called the seat of honor. And if you were able to sit there, you were the business. Your life would have been sorted and you would have got respected. Meals were the arena for presenting yourself to culture, making yourself appear more significant or better than your actual self. It was the platform that you would go after affirmation and recognition from other people in this weird game of showing yourself off to the rest of culture. And so the better that you presented yourself and the more recognition that you got, the better the space was that you were going to be able to sit at the table. Can you ever imagine a society that lived in that way? It's crazy. By the way, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at Stu Bothwell, and you can do that. I'm just kidding. I'm not on Instagram anymore. Verse 7 of Luke 14 says this. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Jesus noticed that these guests were scrambling to try and get this seat to the right of the host. He witnessed this scramble, this scrap taking place in front of him. A scramble that's really familiar to many of us, if we're to be honest. In the race of modern life, even within our relationship with Jesus, we're scrambling for significance. We're scrambling to be noticed, to feel loved, to feel accepted. We're dying to get some credit for something that we've done. We're wanting to seem to be successful and having it all together. For many of us, if we're to be honest, this scramble is the atmosphere of our interior worlds. And Jesus clocks this. And he tells a parable. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, a parable is a story that communicates the culture of the kingdom of God, the atmosphere that Jesus carried with him. But the thing with parables, you got to notice, is that they actually were constantly subverting the culture that Jesus was witnessing unfold around him. So let me read the parable. Verse 8 says this. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the seat in the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place. So that whenever your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Two really quick things that I want to point out from this passage. Two things that are marking out the life that Jesus has invited us into. A recovered life, as I like to call it. Firstly, acceptance. Note that Jesus is setting a completely different set of rules to how to live your life. In that culture, the game was try to get the best seat in the house, scramble, try to get all the recognition that you could, and you would have made it. But Jesus is saying, play by a different set of rules. You don't need that seat. You don't need the best seat in the house. Go and willingly take the lowest seat in the house. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. You don't need any recognition. You don't need to scrap anymore. Accept that you are the beloved. Don't play by the rules of this culture. Play by the rules of the kingdom of God, where at the heart of it, you discover that you are the beloved, that you're loved by the Father, and you've got nothing to prove to anybody. And with that, you're able to enjoy freedom and contentment and ease. You don't need to worry about what other people think of you. You don't need to worry about trying to ascend the ladder of culture. You can simply just enjoy the ease of playing by a different set of rules. And then this opens up the second thing that I want to talk about from this passage. This opens up a free seat for somebody else, right? Whenever the attention is taken off of us, whenever we stop striving with selfish ambition or vain conceit, we live into the pattern of life that Jesus lived into, which is best described by Paul in Philippians 2, who says this: we in humility value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but looking to the interests of others. In giving up the fight for the best seat, we create the space for somebody else to receive the honor and the recognition and the blessing that we wanted to steal for ourselves back in the day. And in the way of the kingdom, these free seats create the opportunity for people who would never be able to repay us to be the first in line. We don't have time to get into it today, but the next parable of Jesus talks about throwing a banquet. And if we do throw a banquet, we aren't to invite our friends to continue playing the weird little game. We're to invite those who would never be able to repay us, people who can never pay us back. In the way of the kingdom, it is the neglected, it is the poor, it is those forgotten in our culture that get the opportunity to rest into seats of honor in the culture of the kingdom of God. In giving up the fight, this fight, which is so ingrained in our culture, we get to take off this self-centered striving, and we get to take on the form of a servant, longing for other people to experience goodness. And so we offer it up. And you're going to flick up the quote from C.S. Lewis. I love this line from Jack from East Belfast. He said this: the load or weight or burden of my neighbor's glory should be laid daily on my back, a load so heavy that only humility can carry it. And then the backs of the proud will be broken. As we move from ego and acquisition towards humility and contribution, we will see that our life is recovered. We don't need to fight anymore. We don't need to strive. We can give away. This is a humble life. An exalted life in the kingdom of God, where we have nothing to prove and we've got everything to freely give away. As you learn the unforced rhythms of grace, not only will you be able to set aside the game that rules our culture, but you will be able to enjoy the freedom of life in the kingdom of God. And not only that, but you will be able to offer that freely and humbly to so many people around you. Generosity and compassion will flow from the source of your acceptance. And this is right at the heart of who we are as a church. If you're new this morning, if you're visiting with us, you're so welcome, but it's so important that you hear this. This is right at the heart of who we are. Our desire is that our lives would be shaped in this way. And what is so wonderful is that this is so many of our stories. We've encountered Jesus, and we're now pouring our lives out in joyful, humble service of other people. We long to see the kingdom of God bring life across this region. And next weekend is a moment for all of us to be able to put this into practice once again, because it is a practice. This isn't just head knowledge stuff. This requires us to enflesh it, to put it into practice. And I can't wait to do it next weekend with Love, Lag, and Valley, because next Saturday and Sunday, moved by the love of Jesus, we will be pouring ourselves out in humble, sacrificial service of other people. And we're going to be doing it in loads of different ways. We're going to be decorating gardens. We're going to be doing over homes. We're going to be creating community celebration moments. We're going to be bringing joy through music and fun, serving agencies all across our city. It is going to be an amazing weekend. And can I just say, right before we get going in this, I want to say thank you. Thank you to each of you who have blocked out this weekend for months. Thank you to each of you who have signed up and served. Thank you for your excitement and your investment and your love as we have shaped these projects together. And before I hand over to Yvette, who's going to unpack the why that we're doing this, I just want to share a little bit of the shape of the weekend as we build up to next weekend. So here's some details that are going to appear on the screen behind me. On Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to be getting together here in the venue and we're going to be doing some Pilates. Now, what's really important is for you to know is that we're going to be pouring ourselves out. We're going to be working pretty hard, but actually we want to be able to invest in you and thank you. So right at the top of this and the tail of it, we're wanting to create a few moments just to say thank you. And so we're going to be doing that with a barbecue on Sunday evening, but we're going to be kicking that off on Saturday morning with some Pilates, led by the most wonderful Emma Bothwell, who's going to be leading us in that. Yes. We just want to say thank you, and we want to invest in you. And Pilates is a really, really good way just kind of gently ease our way into the weekend. Now, this is for anybody of all abilities and none. Like, I don't have a core. I pretty much have a gut, you know? So like, yous are all like so welcome to come and join us. Just bring along a mat or a towel and you'll be able to do it. Okay, so 9 o'clock, not 9:30. So 9 o'clock to 9:45, we'll be getting together and we're gonna be doing things like that, right? That was pretty good. That was all right, thanks. I'm so glad my jeans were able to hold off on that. So 9:30 to 9:45, we're going to be doing some Pilates, just a way to say thank you and to ease our way into the weekend. At 9:45, then we're going to get started properly, and then we're going to head out to all of the projects, and we're going to get set up. Saturday morning is really just getting set up and getting ready to go, and between 10:30 and 1:30, and we're going to be getting ready for all that's going to be happening. At 1:30 next Saturday, we will be done. You'll be free Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, and then on Sunday morning, we're going to get going again at 10:30 a.m. Now, we're not going to be getting together here. We're going to be meeting at our projects all across the city. And let me just say this as clearly as I possibly can. There is no, like, gathering that's going to be taking place. So if you show up here, you're going to be roped in to do some work, all right? You're not going to be here to listen to some worship. So that's your warning, okay? So we're not going to be getting here to do a normal church service, but actually we're going to get to be the church out across this region. So we're going to be meeting across our projects, across the region. And then we're going to be working up to about 4 p.m., and then we're going to slowly meander our way back into the venue. And then between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., we're going to be having a barbecue. There's going to be a drum workshop. We're going to be celebrating and worshiping and sharing stories of all that God has done. It is going to be an amazing weekend, and there is still space for you to be able to be a part of it. Just jump onto our website and go to events, and you'll be able to sign up to any of the projects that we are going to be involved in. But what would happen as we choose for one weekend to give up the best seat in the house and to be able to offer it up to our city, to offer it to our region, to be able to share it, and to be able to allow people across this space to be able to experience love and honor and dignity and the presence of Jesus? What would it look like if we were the kind of people who accepted who we are and then freely gave it away? So I'm going to hand over to Yvette, who's going to help prepare us for next week and share the heart behind what we're doing. So can you give Yvette a massive round of applause?
It really is a big, wow, there's so many people in this room. This is a full house. My goodness, that's exciting. We really are excited about next weekend. And to date, there are 150 people signed up to volunteer next weekend. And we fully anticipate a lot more because so many people tend to sign up in this last week coming up. So if you haven't signed up, we actually still have a further 150 spaces available for people to serve. We can do really well with the 150 people we have. That sets us in good stead for all of our projects. But if we double that, those projects will get fully finished and fully empowered. And just a couple of practical things on that. Somebody said to me yesterday, somebody in my work wants to come along. They're not a Christian, and they said they really wanted to serve. And I tried to tell her that it was just church, but she wouldn't be having it. She wanted to come and serve, so I hope you don't mind she's coming. It's not just for our church, guys. It is for our entire city. Invite your world. This is sometimes and often people's first moment of experiencing what real life is about, and that is totally connected with Jesus. And sometimes it's people's first experience of church and of church community. That's not the only reason we do that. We do that first and foremost to serve our city. But boy, do we have some exciting stories of people experiencing the real life of Jesus for the first time when they get to serve alongside people who are empowered by the life of Jesus and who are serving into their community. So invite your entire world to come along with you. It would be the easiest way to turn us from 150 to 150 more places. If each of you have already signed up, just invite one person to come along with you and serve. And what an amazing moment to be able to invite one of your friends or your family to just experience that for themselves. We actually have some opportunities where we really need you to invite people into. The project at Via Wings in Dromore is quite small on a team. If you haven't picked a team, please go and pick that one in Via Wings in Dromore, an awesome charity that is just creating a base for people to recover, to be strengthened again, to get over situations in their lives due to mental health, domestic violence, poverty, need, or just simply loneliness, isolation, maybe being isolated in their older years, or maybe something that is very common like postnatal depression. Via Wings is creating a space where all kinds of people can come and just recover their lives again. Jesus is all over that, but they don't preach to people, they just create an environment for people to come and find well-being and wholeness again. Mental health is very important to us and very prevalent in our community at the minute. And we have the privilege of going and painting some new rooms in Via Wings next weekend, which creates an environment for people to come and be restored. So I'm inviting you to sign up for that. It's a great project. There are a number of projects on our website that you can get involved in. I am so excited about next weekend. Really, really excited about next weekend. I want you to come into this and take the opportunity to experience this as fun, but also to take on this whole atmosphere that we're teaching into at the minute, that it's easy. I just want to take a moment and just chill us a little bit, because for some of us, we're going into next weekend thinking it's all about works. And actually what the Father's saying at the moment is there's nothing about that. In fact, if you're coming along to do some work, don't bother turning up. Because actually what the Father's leading us into is a wonderful invitation to see Him, to see people, and to experience His presence. And that's why it's just a wonderful opportunity to invite your friends and family, because I just believe that we've been doing work for a long time, but actually we're coming into a season where the Father's inviting us to just look, to see, to chill a bit. And actually the work's easy in that, when we come in with that right posture of seeing what the Father's doing and just joining in with Him. So before I tell a couple of stories that's leading us into the why of next weekend, can you guys put a timer up for me with 10 minutes on? That'd be great. Thanks. Before I do that, I just want to invite you to just take a moment to chill and to experience what Stu was talking about there, which is where he talked about Jesus inviting us to come. And when He looks into our eyes and He just says, come. And for many of us, that's the start of our journey. And the first time, I had a wonderful chat with a lady last week who's just coming in and around our community because she's just feeling a sense of invitation. And we were just talking about how for some people, you know, God just invites us to come around stuff that he's doing, and we experience him for the first time. I just want you to stop for a moment and hear God say to you, come. And because as Stu was explaining, that's where it all starts, when he looks in our eyes and he says, come. And the best response that we can have to that is when we say back, come, Lord Jesus, come. So I just really felt when I got up this morning and all this week that the Father just wanted us to create a moment where you get to hear him say, come, looking in your eyes, and that you say back to him, come, Lord Jesus, come, because that's where we get to experience his presence and to enjoy his company. So I just want to take a moment to do that. And I'm quite a peaceful kind of lull you into sleep kind of person. So I'm going to actually do the opposite of that. And if you're okay and you're physically able to, I'm just going to ask you to stand as a community. And we are just going to invite Jesus to come. And I just want you to just relax into that. If you're not used to doing that, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything freaky. I am quite a peaceful person. And I'm just going to be like an air stewardess and just invite God's presence to come so you can relax. If there's anything panicky, I'll let you know. But the Father is gentle and he's kind. And I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and to just, if you feel comfortable, if you don't, you don't have to. But we're just going to honor the Father in the fact that he's saying to us, come. Before a busy weekend and before we go into Love, Lag and Valley and respond to him, we just want to hear him say to us, come. And we want to take a moment to experience him. And as a community, just hear his invitation to come. And then to say back to him, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because in many respects, we have no right to walk into serving our community unless we give him his place and say, Father, it's all about you. And Father, forgive me for wanting to rush in and work and do all that stuff. And I'm going to go in there and paint this place and we are going to look great. It's not about that. It's about us saying, come, Lord Jesus, you are Lord. You are everything. And gosh, we wouldn't get to do any of this without you. It's absolutely pointless, Father, without you. Without your invitation to come, and without us giving you your place. So, Father, we hear for a moment, we just take a moment to hear you say to each of us personally, come. And we just posture our hearts with saying something like, Father, I hear your voice. Thank you for inviting me to come. Father, I am so busy. Sometimes I don't take time to hear you invite me. I hear you calling me, Father. I hear you inviting me to come. Sometimes our response to that is, I don't think God would ask me to come. And that's okay. Maybe push through that and hear him say to you, come. Because that come and that invitation is for every single person. That's biblical truth that God doesn't leave anybody out. And he's inviting you to come. Just enjoy that for a moment, that God invites you to, even you, without exception. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your invitation. And Father God, we respond to that. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Father God, come. And no matter how worthy or unworthy we feel, we just accept that the love of the Father takes away all fear and invites us into the fullness of the presence of Jesus. And so we say, come, Father God, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And we choose as a community to posture ourselves ready to serve you with a place of humility, taking not the best seat in the house, but the seat that chooses to serve. And then you do whatever you like, Father. Elevate people, elevate places in your order and in your way and in your kingdom, because you are Lord and we acknowledge who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for doing that. You can take your seat. This room is really full, and this time next year, I just want to share with you what the Father sees is going to be in this room this week next year. This time next year, we are going to be a room full of people, much bigger than this, where each of us is not coming to serve Love Lagan Valley that is being created by some staff in the church, and you don't fully understand it, and you're trying to understand it, and some of you do, and some of you are like, well, I'm just going to have a go and just going to serve. This room is going to be full of you who have experienced a greater level of what the Father is doing in our community, and you have created and you have invited the projects for Love Lagan Valley next year. There's going to be twice as many, maybe more. And in the room sitting next to you is going to be the people from our community and partners that you have invited, and you are leading alongside them in partnership what the Father is bringing into our community. There will be some of you who have dreamt about a breakthrough in a particular area in our city, and over this coming year, you're going to partner with that person or that place, and they'll be here with you because you'll have said to them, I'd like to create a team of people to come and serve what you're doing, because I believe the Father is doing new things with you. And this time next year, we're each going to be sitting with somebody that we're partnering with. And Love Lagan Valley is going to make a whole lot more sense to you and to our community, because I believe that the Father is speaking over us, that he is multiplying what he is placing and birthing in our lives. And that today he is birthed in you as you said, come, Lord Jesus. And as you heard his invitation and you decided to give him authority in his place, to just relax into that and enjoy and experience what the Father's doing, that he's going to invite you to partner with what he's doing in the city. And each of you is going to see a dream come alive that you're going to partner with and the Father's going to release in you. Take that and do with it what you want. But I just felt the Father wanted to encourage you to take a risk this coming year, to step out in some new boldness. And that thing or that place where you feel frustrated, angry, or can't find a way, he's going to give you a solution that's going to be much simpler than you think it is. And he's going to give you some very simple tools to make that happen in around your life, in your family, or in your work area. So look out for the activity of God and join in with what he's doing. I believe the Father wants to encourage you in that. Only have a couple of minutes left, but I just want to illustrate that with a story. When I was 21, I got to know a man called Patrick Dixon. And I just want to tell you a little bit about him just to inspire you before we go into Love, Lagan Valley next week. Patrick has become a little bit one of my heroes. He was a doctor and still is a doctor, but not a practicing GP any longer. He's a writer and author, a business consultant, now, but when I met him back in the early 90s, he had done something in the 80s which really inspired me. I took out a year on the south of England to do what we've just stood and done there. I was grappling with this idea that God was inviting us, but I wanted to say yes to that, but I wanted to experience that in its reality. And I met this guy, and I heard him speaking several times over a year that I'd committed to work all that stuff out. And Dr. Patrick Dixon said these couple of things. He said, "I'm a doctor, and I deal with real people in the real world who need accurate information and practical help. I do regret, though, giving offense at any time if I do, but my goal is to save lives and to help people." He also said, "I would rather work with 5 people who really believe in what they're doing than to work with 500 who can't see the point." And that really inspired me. And what he was doing was, as a GP in the south of England at the time, I don't know if you remember, if you're as old as me or older, you'll remember that back on the south coast of England, all over the world at that point, but I was living in the south coast of England at the time, just above Brighton in the South Downs. And Patrick was a GP there, and most of his work was with people who were being diagnosed in the stages of or dying of AIDS. And he was working with them, and he had just written a book about the awareness of AIDS epidemic, and it was speaking into the reality of that. The AIDS epidemic at the time was something that people were trying not to talk too much about because they were afraid of whipping up this hysteria around it at the time. And as a doctor, he came in and said, "We've got to tell the truth, we've got to educate well, we've got to build trust, and we have to do something about the AIDS epidemic." And one of the things that he did, he was a Christian, was that he realized that in that area that we were living at the time, people who are dying of AIDS were often dying on their own, because due to circumstances of being isolated from their family or being rejected by their family, or people were just so afraid of AIDS at the time, nobody, you know, they were like outcasts at the time. That was the culture we were living in at the time, with lack of understanding. And he decided that it wasn't good enough that people were dying of AIDS on their own in complete isolation and loneliness. And bringing both his job as an intelligent man in research and as a GP and seeing a physical need there, he also married that with his connection with the Father God and his place as a Christian. And he said, "What can we do?" And as well as writing intelligent policy and influencing the medical profession at the time, he also asked, "What can the church do?" Which is quite a radical thing at the time, because many of the people who were dying of AIDS were also gay, and the church was not necessarily connecting with the gay community at that time. So it was quite a controversial thing for him to do. It's quite a nice story for us to tell now, but if you imagine the knit and the grit that he was actually in at that time, he decided to ask his church to do something about that, and he set up an agency called ASSET. And it was about education and truth and trust and understanding the AIDS epidemic, but also doing something about it. And he decided to set up ASSET, and actually his team to start at ASSET were those who were his colleagues in the medical profession, but his army were his church. And what he did was he set up a very practical way that every single person that he was aware of or that had access to his agency and that was dying of AIDS would not die alone and would have somebody who would journey with them and sit with them at their bedside at the end and would be with them and would be speaking encouragement and friendship into their life. And he set up this agency called ASSET. And the girl who I was working with at the time volunteered with him. And so he engaged his church in a practical outcome for that. And that inspired me at that point. I took that away, and it inspired me to be the kind of church, or to be in a church. At that time, I dreamt of being in a church that would intelligently respond in our workplaces and in our community and allow the church to partner with the needs of our city and with what was happening, both intelligently and just risk-taking and practical. And I've run out of time, but that's an illustration of why we're going to do what we're going to do with Love Lagan Valley. Guys, we're learning, but that the heart of all we're doing with Love Lagan Valley is that we would be people that would listen to the Father inviting us to come, but that would engage the needs of our city and our intelligence and to do things well and to respond to our city with our practical hands and have our church being an army that would go out into our community and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but would not allow things to happen like people die alone from loneliness, and would support the agencies in our city who are doing that well. It's not just the church that has the hands and the feet of Jesus. God has inspired our council. He has inspired our businesses. He has inspired our health service. And he's inspired our intelligent, active people who are writing policy. And he is inspiring them, whether they know it or not, to do the work of the kingdom and to be with people and to work with people and to bring life to our city. But as a church, we cannot sit and allow everybody else to do that and that happen. The Father is inviting us in to experience that for ourselves and to be practical and to practice the work of Jesus in our city. And so Love Lagan Valley came out of that kind of idea that we want to learn to experience that Jesus active in agency work in our community, in our city, in solution bringing. And I grew up with two things my father taught me to do, both my Father God and my earthly father. One is to look and to really see people. The other thing is to invite the presence of God in everything that you do, and then to partner with that and to partner with the people that are bringing God's kingdom. And though that's what is the heart of Love Lagan Valley, we want to see people, each other, and we want to see people in our community. We want to invite the presence of God to come, and we want to partner with our city for change to see the presence of God come, because we can't do it on our own, and we have to engage with what God is doing. So Love Lagan Valley is inviting you in to partnering with what God is doing. But first and foremost, please enjoy the weekend seeing people, both seeing each other and seeing the people that you're working with. And it's not just a weekend. May you experience and practice the presence of God and your experience of people in that weekend. We're only creating that because we want that to be our entire lives. This is not about a weekend. This is about us desiring to see a church full of people like Patrick Dixon, that each one of us at our level and in our place, we're not all going to get the right books, but each of us can sit with somebody. Each of us can see people. Each of us can invite the presence of God into our lives, and each of us in some way can partner either what he's doing or partner with somebody who's doing that. And so Love Lagan Valley, as it develops over the coming years, is simply a place for you to actively say, right, I choose to experience what that means, Father. I choose to get involved and roll my sleeves up. And for some of you, you're like, I think I get this. It kind of scares me. I'm new to this. And we're creating an environment in Love Lagan Valley for you to just go and paint a fence. And in that, the Father will reveal to you his come and do this with me. And for you to be able to say, come, Lord Jesus, I want to join in with what you're doing. So please carry the sense of that enjoyment, the sense of God's invitation, the truth on your life that God has given each of you a solution, and also his invitation for each of you to see what he's doing in and around you and to really, really see people and our city. So as you go into come into this week, please take some time to reflect on the atmosphere of what we've shared this morning. First and foremost, that God invites you as his child and his son, and that not one of you is excluded from his invitation. And secondly, to enjoy his presence this week, and then to go into Love Lagan Valley with an attitude of partnership and serving, but also one that says, Father, I want this to release in my life a catalyst to serve you more and to see you expand the heart of the Father in my life, in our city. And above all, we just say, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in and through us. So time is up, but I wanted to just leave you with that thought. Can we stand? We'll just pray and we'll go into our next weekend just by committing that to the Father. Holy Spirit, won't you come? Father, we invite you to come just as you have invited us to come. And we just settle our hearts and we say, what a privilege it is, Father, to join in with what you're doing. Father, we are excited about next weekend. But we know that it is just a moment to experience and to practice the ways of your kingdom and to experience and to practice what you're inviting us into. And so won't you come and increase your presence in our lives this week? Won't you inspire us in the conversations we have with our friends and the things that come up in our work on our desk? Won't you inspire us from the things that our children just randomly say to us this week? May they be the words of your truth. And may we just listen out for you this week. And as we go into Love Lagan Valley, may we serve our city well. May it release your kingdom come and your will be done. So Father, we declare, let your kingdom come and let your will be done over our city. Just going to read this scripture out for us before we finish. This scripture is from Isaiah 58 and has a wonderful title. It's called A Full Life in the Emptiest of Places. And that's a wonderful title because it does two things. It offers us a full life when we're feeling completely empty, but it also allows us to carry the full life of Jesus into the emptiest of places. This is Isaiah 58. Let's just meditate on this a moment. If you get rid of unfair practices and quit blaming victims and quit gossiping about other people's sins, and if you are generous with the hungry and you start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. And this is his promise if we act on that. I will always show you where to go. I'll make you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. And you'll use the old rubble. That's my favorite bit. Church, you will use the old rubble of past lives to build new ones. You will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restoring old ruins. So rebuild and renovate. Make the community livable again. Come, Holy Spirit. We choose to be that community, that army, those empty lives being filled with your life, full lives bringing life to the emptiest of places and making our community livable again. And we thank you that you do that through our story of having empty lives and you filling ours and us bringing that, and that from that you restore ruins, you rebuild, you renovate, and you make our community livable again. Thank you, Father. Amen.